And well, you one would think that the APC and the PDP would be the only parties that, you know, many would say have issues. Or you can even add Labour Party to that mix if you were to look at the recent development that came with the director campaign, former director campaigns. But that's not all. There's more happening as we build up to the elections in various parties in the country. And the one that's in the eye of the storm at the moment is the AAC. Yes, the African Action Congress. Recently, the African Action Congress formed some sort of merger with the People's Redemption Party, PRP. They formed an alliance, and the idea of the alliance is to increase their chances of winning the presidential election, which has brought us to the question we have on Facebook already, so you can be a part of that conversation on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. At Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. So if you're not there, you can go there now. And there's a post we have there with a question up for you with regards to this alliance that's been formed by the AAC and the PRP. For the unpopular parties, do you think or do you feel like they would have a chance if they were to form an alliance such as the one with the AAC and the PRP? Would unpopular parties, or in quotes, the so-called small parties, stand a better chance at the elections if they form an alliance? Let us know what you think about that on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH. Share your thoughts with us. But a major focus would have to do with that alliance, and not just that alliance, and the fact that reports came in just about 3 days ago that four state chapters of the African Action Congress expelled their respective governorship candidates. We want to find out why. Well, we'll be speaking with the chairman. We'll be speaking with the chairman, AAC Governorship Candidates Forum of Nigeria, Mr. Iboro Otu, via telephone. He's in Port Harcourt at the moment. We'll be speaking with him via telephone to also get to hear perhaps what could have led to, because he's also among one of the governorship candidates that were expelled. I think he's the governorship candidate for Akwa Ibom State. Now, the back end of the story is that the governorship candidates were expelled over gross violation of the party's constitution. And this was something that was stated by the party itself. And some of those affected are Akwa Ibom, Enugu, Kwara. Yes, a few of the states to mention that were affected. So, the state chairman have put out different statements from the party explaining why these people were expelled from the party as governorship candidates. Let's get on to our guest, Chairman AAC Governorship Candidates Forum of Nigeria, Iboro Otu. Sir, you're welcome and good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
So we'll cut to the chase. We'll start from the very top, which is, well, the elections around the corner. We have your party's presidential candidate, very vocal about his chances of winning and what step your party has taken most recently with the alliance that you've formed with the PRP. Tell us, what are the chances? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
So that alliance, how did it come about? And is it something that should bring up some sort of hope for your party?
Of course. Alliances are a great way of bringing people and ideas together to make a resounding win in elections such as this, because it's about issues and about offering best services to Nigerians. But unfortunately, we heard about it. These are some of the issues we raised as well with the national. We read about this in the newspapers like everyone else. So the process that led to the alliance or the dynamics of it is still really not clear at the moment with us. And we are hoping to get to know more about how this would work in our state. But we welcome every alliance and all the works of the National Working Committee and the National Executive Committee in making sure that Nigerians are better informed and the party better positioned to win in the elections. And of course, this is why I'm here in River State, to support our brother, Dr. Ebele Joseph, who is a very formidable candidate in the race. We are here to support his entrepreneurship ventures and projects for young people in the state, and also, you know, project his candidacy. And, you know, as a small party, like you said, what works is going around and with our forum to go across the country, support, show ourselves to the nation, and showcase our manifestos and make sure that Nigerians know they have a better option.
Okay.
And this is what I'm doing.
But then the letter that... A letter that was addressed to the national chairman of your party stated, was headlined, neglect and non-inclusiveness of AAC governorship candidates in decision-making processes. Can you tell us more about this? This alliance, is it one of the decisions that was taken that the candidates were not informed about? What exactly has been happening with AAC, and what is the neglect, and how have you not been carried along?
To be honest, as you can see, that letter was, I don't know how you got it, but it was addressed to the national chairman of the party. It's an internal working document, which is supposed to bring about conversations. And we are hoping that we'll get a response for that to that letter. I have not received any letter from the state exco or from the national exco about an expulsion. So I really can't say much about it other than reading it in the newspaper. And neither have the other governors have purportedly been expelled. We read about it in the newspapers as well. We've not received any query or any issue. Of course, we wrote three letters to the National Working Committee, the National Executive Committee, and the chairman of the party, outlining what needs to be done in getting ready for this election, especially with regards to most of our state schools. In my state, for example, I just have a chairman and a secretary, for example. It's not supposed to be that way. But these are internal things that should be resolved. We have our campaign organization all up and running and doing things. But the party in itself has to, you know, get some certain things sorted out. Especially, you know, now we are submitting polling unit agents and all that. So we are hoping that we can have this conversation going forward.
So you are saying some of the concerns...
But unfortunately, now that this is out in the press in terms of an expulsion, we are looking to find ways...
Let's highlight some of the concerns that yourself and other governorship candidates that form the AAC Governorship Candidates Forum, some of the concerns you have. You've talked about the fact that the parties... Is it that the party isn't well-structured in some of the state, or the national level of the party has not looked at establishing a formidable structure in some of the states? What exactly are the major concerns that you've raised in your letter to the national?
So really, to be honest and to be fair to the national, you know, there's been a big fight at the national level between the faction of Shore and some other faction. So we got back this party about 2 weeks or a week to the deadline. So a lot of rush work had to be done to get ESCOs to be put in place. And this has not been completed. So on our part, we are working hard like this, as you can see on the paper, to tell ESCO, look, we are here, we are governorship candidate, we are all in the race, and we are in the race to win. Let's help you get this sorted. So we make recommendations in terms of, I mean, we have followers all across the state. We have a very robust campaign organization. So we recommend members that can be put in the state schools so that we can get things run. A person or two may not see things the way we do, but this is why we write better. Like I told you, it's an internal documentation. So that's lasting for most of our states in that area of getting the war unit and the state ESCOs in place, even though the campaign organization is very well structured. And we raised this issue as well. We raised issues about leadership, and we raised issues about the polling agents and getting all the numbers correct and the agents right and getting them to ILEC on time. We raised issues about internal, you know, democratic concerns in terms of communication between candidates and between a candidate, so that we can support ourselves and all the rest of it. So I'm sure you've seen the document and you've read it. You can tell from the tone of the document and what we asked for that it's the right thing to do.
There are about 12 things that the forum, governorship candidates forum of your party, were asking, and that's the reason why we started with the some sort of alliance that's been formed between your party and PRP. The first question you asked in this document, if you're wondering how we got it, well, we are the media, so if we're going to have a conversation with you, we should have certain facts. It says that you were asking the question, is the AAC really ready for the election? And are we financially prepared? These are the first two questions. And they struck me. And it brings us to, could this be the reason why your presidential candidate or your party at the national level have chosen to form an alliance with the PRP to see perhaps if you could pull some weight in the elections and garner some votes for yourself? Do you think that you are ready as a party?
We are very ready. I can speak for all my candidates, especially the gubernatorial candidates. We are doing work every day in our ward state unit. The campaign organization is very robust. Like I told you, I'm River State. We are doing a lot of work as we speak. I know the presidential candidate is about to speak. He would also tell you how ready he is. You see him everywhere. He's also working really hard to get his campaign going. Like you know, it's a small party. The best we can do is to support each other. We should try as much as possible not to act in very anti-party way, like what you just said. I believe that wherever the letter of expulsion came from is very anti-party. It's not helping the party in any way. It's not helping our campaign. And whoever engineered that should be punished for that, because all the processes that are supposed to be followed according to the constitution of our party has not been followed. However, the documents were generated, whoever generated them, we've not been served if there was anything. As you can see in the document, it doesn't state what the crimes were or what the fouls that were committed were. Nothing has been highlighted. So we are really in the dark. But to be honest, this campaign is not about, or this election is not about us, it's about Nigerians. It's about us doing our work.
But and should Nigerians not be
right
worried? Should Nigerians not be worried? Looking at the fact that you are, like you said, a young political party, not as big as the very popular ones, but then you're already having these sort of issues even before you get a chance to hold on to power. Shouldn't that be a concern for Nigerians then? That you might end up being like the popular parties that some Nigerians say they are tired of and need an alternative. If you're coming as an alternative and we're already having such issues, shouldn't that be a concern? And many would also look at the kind of personality that your presidential candidate, a leader of your party at national level, have put forward, talking about Sowore, and begin to ask questions. Why should something of this nature be happening in the party? Should Nigerians be concerned, though? Shouldn't they worry?
You know, you have to be a bit forgiving when you see what Sowore has been through, and that's why I'm being very reserved in my words. He's been very active in the activism area, and he's just delved into politics. So sometimes some of the solutions that worked in one area might not work very well here. But then as comrades in the field, our work is to guide and support and make sure that the best comes out of everyone. No one is perfect. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I don't know how Nick came out in what we are talking about in the letters. It was supposed to be an internal working document. That letter was not supposed to go to the press. It was supposed to be us talking to ourselves to get ourselves better and our party better. And if anything has come out like expulsion or whatever, I don't want to believe that it's coming from my party. I know that agents around that are doing things within the party that they're not supposed to be doing. I believe that the Sowore would step into the matter and get this thing sorted. Yes, we've read stuff in the press, we've read stuff in different places. We want to give them a second chance to be sure they know what they're doing. And the reason why we are very reserved is because the Electoral Act is very clear on the position of our candidacy. You can't change any candidate to another candidate, move anyone from any party or do anything. Our position is sacrosanct. That's what Section 33 of the Electoral Act says. So with these kind of tools, these kind of laws that are at our disposal, it wouldn't make any sense for us to have any kind of misunderstanding or infighting. So I am here to build my party. I'm working really hard to make sure my candidates win across the state. And that is why I've been mandated to be the chairman of the organization forum, to make sure that we make ourselves heard and our position very clear. So whatever is being bandied around at the moment, I think it's just destruction and noise. And Nigerians should be very confident that as many people, we will come here to deliver on the promise that we've made to them on our manifesto, especially in the areas of education, healthcare, agriculture, access to funding for our MSMEs, and all guarantees that we should enjoy in this country.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes before we go on a short commercial. Maybe after the break, we'll come back and focus in details on the expulsion that yourself and three other candidates had, are supposed to be facing from your party. But then another interesting question I'd like to ask you, and if you can react in a few seconds, is amongst your demands, the financial part of it. You say, is the party financially prepared? Now you're aware that 95 million at the PDP in River State, I'm sure you're abreast with the situation in River State and how the campaigns work, especially with the executive orders. And the PDP says it has paid 95 million, at least that's what we've got from the Commission of Education. Speaking with your other members of the forum and your candidate here in River State, how is your party seeking to meet that kind of requirement? If you can, share with us in a few seconds. Hello.
Come again, please. I didn't get that question.
Oh, okay, I would have to come back with it. That would be after the break. We're already out of time. Just stay on the line for us. We'll go in a very short 2-3 minutes commercial. When we return, we continue with the conversation. Meanwhile, if you're listening on Facebook, do you think unpopular political parties stand a chance in the election if they form an alliance? Let us know at NigeriaInfoPH. We'll be right back.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
At 92.3 Nigeria Info, my guest is the chairman, AAC Governorship Candidates Forum of Nigeria, Iboro Otu, one of the governorship candidates expelled by the party. We're hearing his own opinion about the whole situation. Says he hasn't received any official letter and he's not sure any other candidate has. But from what we have here, a letter addressed to himself by the state chairman of the AAC in Akwa Ibom, Utip Etiebet, it says, and I quote, "Recall the state leadership of the party in a letter dated December 28, 2022, had issued you a query bordering on gross violation of the constitution, set rules and directives of the AAC, and given 48 hours to explain why disciplinary actions should not be taken against you in line with Section 81, subsection 4. That time has since elapsed without a word from you." Let's get back to our guest who is waiting for us on the phone line. Remember, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH and on Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH. On Facebook is a question we're asking you with regards to the alliance formed between the AAC and the PRP. We're asking, should unpopular parties consider such form of alliance? Will it give them a chance in the election? Let us know what you think on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH. Mr. Otu, thank you for staying on the line.
Thank you, sir.
So quickly, I was asking, okay, before the break, I put a question out to you with regards to you talking about the financial strength of your party and the fact that you were chosen as the chairman of the Governorship Candidates Forum for your party to ensure that the candidates emerge victorious. So when you look at the financial strength, which was a question that was asked in that letter you addressed to your party's national chair leadership, we're asking, in River State, I'm sure you're abreast with the process before a party can campaign using majorly any of the government public schools. I'm sure you're aware of that detail.
Yes, sir.
So how is your party handling that? Because, for instance, the PDP has just reports we got is that the PDP had paid 95 million naira. Is that something your party is considering to also go follow the same line and pay monies to use these facilities at the various local governments in the state when your candidate here in the state will be going out for campaign? Or how are you taking executive orders and the financial demands of it?
I spoke with my Cooper candidate yesterday, and I advised him to negotiate with the government on that matter and speak. And they are speaking on as we speak. There's always ways around these things when it comes to campaign, and I believe that we would find a very good ground to make this happen even before I leave. So, with regard to the different campaign style that we're using, when funding is a challenge, there are many other avenues that are available, especially in this era of social media, where we can have panels, can have town halls and rallies with the younger population who make over 80% of the voter population. So we are not letting this deter us. We understand how politics works, and there's a lot of give and take, and we are looking to explore every opportunity to make us victorious in the race.
Now, to the letter, you said you haven't received a letter with regards to you being expelled from the party. This was something that was written by the state chairman of your party, Utip Etiebet. And it says that you were supposed to respond to a query bordering on gross violation of the constitution. Perhaps not just you, yourself and the others, bordering on gross violation of constitution, set rules and directives of the AAC, and given 48 hours to explain why disciplinary action should not be taken. And he said the time elapsed against you in line with section 81 and subsection 4 of your party's constitution. He then further said that you have willfully refused to respond to the party's query to you, and it's only unfortunate, but also it said that they believe of your lack of respect for the constitution of the party and its organs have been reinforced by your action, and that the naked act of insubordination is not only contrary to section 10 A, B and C of the party's constitution, but punishable under section 80, subsection 2 A, B, C, D and E. So you said you haven't gotten any letter, but this is what we have in public space. So you mind clarifying for us?
So I haven't received this letter, neither all the other governors. None of us has received it, and in our forum we have 12 governors out of the total 17 in the party. So I think we can speak very confidently that no one has seen anything like that. And as you can see in that letter as well, I don't know who signed it, but there is a letter out today by the secretary of the party who is actually supposed to sign off any communication coming from the party, and he stated clearly in his letter, which I will share with you immediately after this call, that he's not aware of anything like that. He's not aware of any query. He's not aware of anything that any act of insubordination. So these are things that we have. Unfortunately, he's gone to the social media and public space. It's supposed to be an internal party thing where one would look at it, where is this coming from and who's originating what paperwork or saying what. We are very clear in our position about our position as candidates in the race. We are all running. The four people that we mentioned, fortunately or unfortunately, are myself, the chairman of the forum, the secretary of the forum, who is the governorship candidate of Kwara State, and the financial secretary being the governor of the governorship candidate of Enugu State, Mr. Wekene. So this is quite new to us, but I mean, it's politics. We know our position, and we know what to do about this. We, by God's grace, we are hoping that this would be resolved very soon, and we are getting appropriate advice to make sure that comes to pass. I believe that as members of the press, I'll be very excited to hear you speak with the other parties that have been mentioned in that paperwork, to hear what they have to say about how this came about. I mean, when you write a letter to someone for committing an offence, you state in the paperwork exactly the offence they committed. That's a very big deal. So I wouldn't be in condescending myself to responding to what I read in the newspapers. A lot of things come up without actually being real.
Is the presidential candidate of your party aware of the situation? Because many would say it seems like there are divides or issues with your party heading into the elections. How does this affect the chances of your party garnering any sort of measurable amount of votes in the election or even winning at the end?
Well, in a couple of days before Monday, we should get to the bottom of this. If we get to the bottom of this and this paperwork happened to call from the party, or from the leadership of the party at the national level, that would be very unfortunate, because it would probably showcase that at that level, they are probably not ready for elections. But at our level, we are very ready for elections. So I wouldn't want to put the cart in front of the horse. I believe this originated elsewhere. We are very ready for this election, and these kind of positions are the things that would discourage Nigerians from believing in our cause. And this would cause a great damage, like I said, to our reputation, not just the campaign, the serious reputational damage to it. But we are working very hard and using mediums like what yours and every other medium to dispel any kind of effort that would thwart our long-standing desire to lead Nigeria to where it's supposed to be. We are not the only party facing this, unfortunately. The other parties have it worse. It doesn't mean that every party should have it. We are quite a small party. We shouldn't be having this. But we are very strong candidates in our state, quite in state, and in most of the other states, the candidates we have on our forum, we are either at number two, number three, and number four position in the election. So we are very well positioned, and we won't let this, pull us off from the main focus. Look, we're in a country where inflation is over 20%, unemployment is over 50%, like it is in my state. The misery index in this country is hovering over 70%, showing the poverty index is at 10 level. When you have this kind of issues about security and employment, the problem is about solving bigger problems. The concern now, the focus is about solving this bigger problem. So I spend my time, like I'm doing right here.
How can you solve the problem when you have issues like this in your party? In fact, how would you have Nigerians on your side? Because already the idea for many young Nigerians who are looking at what is happening and the issues being raised at the moment would be, well, all political parties are the same and this is what we get. Like you rightly said, it's a setback for you and the image of your party and your candidates from the presidential level downwards. So how do you tend to rectify it? If you've alluded to the fact that it seems like, yes, there are cracks in your party and possible even factions.
Well, there's always been factions in my party. Remember, we just got this party a couple of months before we even got our candidacy. So this is, again, what I'm saying. It could be some mischievous play employed by factions trying to get this across. So Nigerians are used to this kind of games, and they know people that are serious. In my state, my people know that I'm serious. In River State, I have gotten the sense that Dr. Joseph Ebele is at the top of things, because we are going around. We are not just sitting and talking in the room. So this is the most serious thing and the most serious evidence that we want to see. The electoral law, the position is very clear about our candidacy, so no one is confused about whether we are candidates or not. We are running the race to the end, because it's clear on the side of the law that we will always be candidates. So why would I have to waste my time other than just, for clarification's sake, which is what I am doing now, speaking on behalf of my other
government. Let me put out...
This is not on
let me give you... Let
and
me...
Nigeria support us.
Let's take some of the messages. Let's take some of the messages from our listeners on Facebook. You can be a part of the conversation on Facebook Live at Nigeria Info PH. And the question we're asking is whether you think popular political parties stand a chance in the election if they join forces. We're speaking with, of course, the chairman AAC Governorship Candidates Forum here in Nigeria, Iboro Otu. And he has talked about, we are aware of the alliance between the AAC and the PRP. He thinks it could really yield positive fruits for his party, despite the slight challenges that they're having at the moment. On Facebook, a few comments. Ohaji Henry says, good morning. For me, it is high time we stand our grounds and flush out this political hoax. Power belongs to the people. Sonny Nwidag says, we're in Nigerian elections, so unpopular parties win elections. No way. This is not a question to ask, because in Nigeria's system, it doesn't happen. This is Alode from LMA. Another person says, I don't see any of them becoming a threat to the big parties, even if they all come together. This election in the state is between the PDP as the governing state, the APC as the main opposition, SDP because of Magnus Abe as a strong force. All other parties are just in the race. Some of all these political parties are not existing in many local governments of the country and even in some states, and they failed to learn from the formation of APC as a political party. It took three main parties to come together with a faction of the PDP and ABGA to form the APC to be able to withstand the PDP. Otherwise, PDP would have still been in power. This one is from John Mark. Many are already saying, I mean, you don't stand a chance. Do you have the structure? Do you even have the structure? Some of the questions being asked. I'll take a phone call now. Letan Barry calling from Bori. You're welcome. Letan Barry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ifeanyi, Andrew, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. So talk to us. You heard the question. You think it's possible?
To me, from the angle I see the AAC from, I see that it would be very difficult for them to pave a way to even make some percentage of votes, not even minding the problem they have already accrued to themselves now that the election has not even started. And even from the question you're asking the candidate there, he's not even sincere in going direct to respond as we expected. Now, the party has given them a suspension. Does that stand erect to contest in this election? That is another question. Two, as we know that AAC is not in the scene, in the political scene, in this latest development now, I'm looking at it that all these factors they are having inwardly will be difficult for them to even come out or to even say in looks and crannies of these states that we've ever had anything about AAC. It is difficult. So now that you've not been able to pave way in the mind of people and you're already having problem, official problem or party problem with your party members, how can you be able to sell out of this? Now the Magnus Abe's party are taking over everywhere. The PDP, we know that is noise, but Magnus Abe, SDP, are taking over the nooks and crannies of the state. And you are having problems. Can you be able to stand the chance with the magnitude support of Senator Magnus Abe, with the capacity Magnus Abe has? Can you be able to succeed this situation? That is where the problem lies.
Okay.
So that's where my concern is. You need to work out modalities to solve a problem within your party, so that if you have the stand to come out to meet people, but I don't think you will survive it, because the level of campaign by Senator Magnus Abe and SDP in River State, I don't think AAC has any stand.
All right, thank anywhere. You very much. Justice from Umudioga, good morning.
Good morning, distinguished Ifeanyi Andrew.
Yeah, welcome, go on.
Yes, Happy New Year. Right. Andrew, I don't think that the margin of these two political parties within history. I don't think so, because even before now, these two political parties are not popular. Now come to think of it, what is the population of these two political parties? When they were one, what is their population? And now they are two, they have merged. What is their population? Can their population beat that of APC and PDP? Can their population beat that of SDP and Labour Party, all these political parties that are somehow familiar to the electorate that want to vote? So coming together doesn't mean victory. What is their financial strength? Can they be able to sponsor their campaigns? These are the things you have to check, not just coming together. Do they have the financial will? Do they have the popularity? Can they sponsor campaigns? I think this financial involvement and population also goes a long way to talk about a political party that can win the election, not just margin. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, thank you very much, Justice. I'm pretty sure my guest, Mr. Unto, you heard some of the callers, and finance is being mentioned as a critical factor. Whether or not there's a coming together of all these parties, it may not still yield anything positive if they don't have the structure or the financial muscle. It brings me to what happened last election. Your presidential candidate came out sixth position with over a little over 33,000 votes, which doesn't even meet in any way close to the requirements constitutionally of winning an election. So what would be different this time? Why should people then believe that, well, this merger could cause some wonder and we could see something that would surpass the last outing?
So, yes, Dr.
Tolu
Ayomide, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So, yes, Dr. Joseph Obele is doing a lot of work on ground, and we deal with statistics. Remember, we are young people in this party. When you look at the numbers of people registered to vote in this election, 18 to 24-year-olds make over 80% of the voter population. And when you look at the INEC statistics, 18% of polling units actually contribute over 80% of the new vote. You know, that's where the voter population is. So when you look at the dynamics and demography, you understand that young people have a very particular chance in electing leaders this time around. And when you also look at people with PVCs, it shows, it indicates the same thing. So advocating in using different mediums and media to do outreach while also doing traditional politicking is going to change a lot of things. So when the young man says things like, what is the population of the party in the state? It doesn't matter the population of the party members in the state, because electorates don't need to belong to any party. They just need to vote for who they prefer. It doesn't stop a PDP person from voting for an APC or an AEC candidate. And this is what we are saying. We are reaching out to the young people that have the numbers and saying, look, we have the solutions, and here we are. And it is this belief that has led us to strongly believe that this election is going to bring a lot of surprise. Forget about the traditional bring money, buy votes. When people talk a lot about money, really, they're talking about money to buy votes.
Regardless.
Dr. Joseph Obele, who would be inaugurating his campaign council on the 8th of January, which is this Sunday, a lot of more activity.
Regardless, you as the chairman of this governorship candidates forum for your party, and fighting the issues you have in your party already, and carrying that job of ensuring that the various candidates emerge victorious, do you look at the situation in Rivers State and the parties and the candidates that we have already, and feel that you have a chance?
There is no problem in rivalry between the candidates.
Because many would look at last year in your party last year, the last election, I beg your pardon, and how everything played out. And still it was not easy and couldn't emerge. So what would change this time, especially in River State?
A lot, sir. The electoral laws have changed between last elections and now. The process is now digital. The ballot stuffing is no more happening. That's cut by half. The only problem we have now is vote buying. The process that has been digitalized has totally disrupted the system, sir. And the digital transmission of results has given us better position even after the election. A lot has changed. And because we have not put that these new laws to play that much, people are expecting that this election is going to be business as usual. No, it won't. And like I said, yesterday I met with not just the governorship candidates, but members that are running for state house, federal house, and all the rest of the positions. So the party is intact in terms of all the candidates are intact. The little misunderstandings are normal misunderstandings in many parties, which are even bigger than this. It's just that unfortunately, someone somewhere has brought something to the press and has said something they are not supposed to be saying. we are all members of the African Action Congress. We are all running in our elections. And the Electoral Act is very clear on our position as candidates. No one can change anything. We are candidates until the end. The only thing that can stop our candidacy is death. That is stated clearly on Section 53 of the Electoral Act. So we are not getting distracted. That's why you think this is the first interview we have ever had on this issue, because it's a non-stack. The concern here is about getting my candidate's inauguration on the 8th to be very resounding on Sunday, and getting the system rejigged and working all the tools that we have at our disposal to make sure we deliver.
So you're telling Rivers people that we would not see a repeat of 2019. I remember in 2019 you had the backing of the APC at the time, and the governorship, yes, your governorship candidate. And that's why it's a concern, because many are saying if that happened and you did not win, your party still didn't win, well, what? Why would this be any different? So you're saying that it's possible, well, and you have...
We came second in the last one. This means that we will come first this time around.
So no.
Groups and the laws are now better.
Okay. All right, thank you very much for your time, and Mr. Iboro Otu, for making our time to be on the show. We wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir.
Well, he said, well, there's nothing to worry about. Clearly, they have their hands on the ground. And even though in 2019, despite the support of their candidate got from the APC, and they still didn't emerge victorious because of the amendments and electoral laws, well, it would be different this time. And still maintaining their position that they haven't received any letter from their party with regards to being expelled as candidates. So, in their eyes, they still are candidates if they are going to go by what the Electoral Act says. Well, these measures, how possible, what can they provide for unpopular political parties? My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Thank you very much for being a part of the conversation. Hello, Port Harcourt comes up next with Jude. Do have yourself a lovely weekend. Stay tuned.